Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. The sea of hello. I love that. Yeah, so much for finding on Earth. I was going to, yeah. So anyway, this is the first time I've used this service, and I just fucked my access code all shit. So, hold on. Let me figure out how to mute all the loud noises. One moment. Yeah, okay. So I think that hopefully everybody but me is muted. Otherwise, wow, how weird would that be? Right, and look at that, it's 4 o'clock on the dot, cool. Okay, so let's see, let me just double check this console thing, since this is the first time that I've used this particular service, and I want to make sure that, you know, this actually records, because how much would that suck if it didn't? Right, recording on, live conference on, I guess we will just cross our fingers and hope for the best, right? Right, okay, wow, holy shit, there's lots of people on the call. I don't know why I'm always surprised, but I am surprised, so that's pretty fucking amazing. Right, cool, okay, so, yeah, let's get to it. So first of all, yay, you're here, how awesome. This is our second official Boom Brigade exclusive call, and so, right, just a general kind of format overview thing. You know, I really actually have no idea how long I'm going to talk because this is probably one of the most unstructured calls. Not probably, it is probably for sure the most unstructured call I've ever done. I have some notes and, you know, if it makes sense, I'll get through them, and if not, I won't. But I'm guessing, you know, this will probably run, you know, I don't know, 45, 60 minutes or something. There probably will not be a Q&A thing at the end for a couple of reasons. One, there's a million people here, and I'm pretty sure I couldn't get to everybody's questions. Two, I'm actually not even sure that I know how to unmute people or have people raise their hands since I've never used this service before, so that would be kind of weird. Three, I'm a little short on time since I'm trying to push out of here this weekend to a retreat. And four, I would actually like us to do the Q&A section of this in the secret discotheque itself instead of doing it here on the call, because I think generally that would just be more helpful to everybody. So we probably won't do a Q&A thing at the end of the call for those reasons. So what else? What else? Right. So. The history of this, the reason I decided to do this call was, you know, there had been some conversations in the discotheque about this idea of scared and struggling and how, frankly, I think those are just super unhelpful words that are tricksy in all kinds of different ways. And, you know, it was one of those things I'd asked people to make mental notes, which they did, yay. Thank you, Kelly, specifically. And so to make mental notes to remind me to circle back to it. And every time I kept circling back to it, I was just thinking about more and more facets of this thing. And there are tons of nuances to this bit, and I am not even going to pretend that we're going to get into all or even most of those today, because we absolutely are not. This is kind of a big topic, and really at the same time, it's really fucking simple. So... But the reason I decided to do the call instead of just trying to toss the discussion out in the discotheque is because I think there are facets of this that are a little sensitive, and I think that you can probably grok this better if you can hear the tone that I'm using when I'm communicating this. This is one of those instances where I don't dig the way context gets lost in, you know, virtual communication. So. I wanted to do it for that reason specifically. And on that note, how's that for a segue? I will say there will probably be parts of this call that will push your button. Generally, I find that people either really get this or really don't get this, and that's not a judgment. It's just kind of the way it's shaken out. The more attached you are to the way you deal with being afraid and struggling, the more attached you are to what these mean and how they need to be dealt with and the appropriateness of them as a part of your process, the more this shit will push your butt. And that's okay, you know, whatever. I mean, it is what it is, and, you know, as always, you're welcome to do with this whatever you'd like, including tossing everything I'm about to say out the window and carrying on about your business. But, you know, yeah, anyway, whatever. So there will be things here that will probably push your butt. So one of the things that I just want to say in the beginning before we dig into this, and because this whole fear thing, it's a big deal, and I know that it's kind of a source of ack and struggle for a lot of people. So the first thing is, this is not a call that's just echoing this really fucking annoying internet meme of be fearless, right? You know, if we've ever hung out for more than, you know, 3 seconds, you know that I hate that meme and I find it super fucking annoying. And, you know, there's something about it that seems a little macho and there's a teenage bravado to that, you know, it's cute for a second, but then after that, it's just kind of annoying. So, you know, this is not a call about being fearless and, you know, jumping off cliffs and all of that. You know, that's not really my position. Also, my feelings about this, my perspective on this, and my way of managing this whole thing, is none of this comes from a place of me not getting fear or me not getting how it can feel like a big deal, because you know, I've talked about this I think in other ways and other places, but you know, my default groove has been fear. I still have to be really aware of myself and where I'm pointing so that I don't end up in that default groove, because that's just, you know, like some people default to worry or being pissed or fear. So I default to fear. So none of this is about me not getting it. I get fear intimately. And in fact, my position on this is precisely because of that, because I get how difficult fear can seem and just how expensive it is on a lot of levels. So, you know, I get it really from the inside out. I've got 38 years of getting it. So the other thing that I'll say is, this is not about denying our feelings. I think this is one of the nuances that I think is important to address. You know, when we get into the fear and the why I think it sucks and how to manage it, I just want to be clear that I'm not suggesting at any point that anybody deny what they feel or that, you know, they play some bullshit, you know, head in the sand, lashes, unicorns, and glitter, because, you know, again, clearly, if you know anything about me, you know that that's not how I roll. So this isn't about not feeling your feelings. It's about feeling them and responding to them in a different way. And I think that's the key, is that this whole call is ultimately, you know, my big why behind this is that I hope that it moves you into a place of being able to feel whatever the fuck it is you're feeling, but to then be able to respond to it from a different place. So, yeah, and I think all of those things are just necessary for context, so that, you know, you get a little bit about kind of where I'm coming from and where I'm not coming from. So the first thing that I want to talk about, because there was a discussion in the DiscoTech about how I think that people should seriously consider dropping the word stuck and scared from their vocabulary. You know, not because I'm into just, you know, plain, you know, jerk off semantics, but because at the end of the day, words matter, right? I mean, I think there's a pretty enormous power behind the words that we use. And so, like I talked about in the first Boom Brigade call, so part of my background is I've spent just a shitload of time immersed in indigenous shamanism, and a big chunk of that time has been spent learning the spiritual traditions of the Yoruba people of southwestern Nigeria in West Africa. And there's a concept in the Yoruba tradition that's called Ofo Ashe, O-F-O-A-S-E, Ofo Ashe. And what that means, it literally translated to mean the power of the word. So Ofo is word, and Ashe is like power or mojo or medicine or force or, you know, There's a lot of translations for that. But and there's a very heavy awareness in that tradition, and really in most spiritual traditions around the world, about the power that words have. And in the Yoruba tradition, they have a pretty sophisticated system that has to do with the power of words and the way words are used in prayers and songs. And, you know, for example, sometimes you'll hear in a prayer, there'll be words that are repeated three times, and those are always kind of the magic words, right? And in fact, sometimes just when you hear an elder speaking, they'll repeat something three times, which is sort of like the bold, underline, italic, pay attention, motherfucker equivalent in the Yoruba practice. And so there's a keen awareness of the power of words and the fact that words just are really kind of a big deal. And the Yoruba people have a really interesting perspective on how the words that we say affect us. So, for example, on a positive note, in the Yoruba culture, everybody has a name, right? They're given a certain spiritual name. And it's understood that when you say that person's name, it's actually a prayer that invokes sort of the bigness of that person. It evokes the potential and the possibility. So my name, Fubeku, that was given to me by my elders, it means the wisdom of nature saves from death, right? I talked about this in the last call. I'm not going to get too far into that because it's not really the point, but so the idea is that every time somebody says that name out loud, they are evoking my bigness, and they're evoking the power of that name. So that's an example of the positive power of words. Now, the not-so-positive power of words, that can be found in the things that we say to ourselves about ourselves, the stories that we tell ourselves, whether we say them out loud or not, it doesn't really matter, the shit that runs through our head day in and day out. And the way this affects us, it's interesting because the Yoruba people will talk about it as a form of self-hexing. So it's like we're literally putting a hex on ourselves with this bullshit that we say to ourselves day in and day out, right? So this shit in our head is awfully expensive because there's a power to those words and to that language that's kind of circulating through our brain. And so I think that, you know, when we spend all this time talking about being stuck and being scared and all of this, we're invoking that and we're evoking that, right? We are placing that on our heads. And if you dig that, then rock the fuck on. I'm not a big fan of it, and I don't think it's super helpful. So there's an energetic power of words that I think is really important that people really need to be clear about. But there's also a perceptual importance and weight that words carry because, you know, words, they're like lenses, right? They're these windows through which we look onto things. And the words that we use, and the charge around the words, they shape our perceptions of a situation. You know, when we say something is this or I feel this, we're looking at the situation through a lens. And so, you know, it's like looking through a filter, and it changes the way the situation looks. So words affect our perception, right? Because it's interesting on a lot of levels, but I always pay attention to the words that people use because if you want to understand the consciousness of someone, pay attention to the words that they use because words reveal and shape consciousness. So there's a kind of a twofold thing going on, how they reveal and shape at the same time. So the other way that this matters is that they also shape our sense of possibility. Because if we go back to them as windows, right, and if we are looking at a situation through a certain perceptual lens, what's possible or not possible changes based on the windows that we're looking through. And so words not only affect the way we see or experience something, but they also directly affect the actions that we do or don't take of the possibilities that are or are not open to us. So it's, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so what I know to be true, just absolutely true in my experience, is that when we drop words that are unhelpful, you know, again, not from a place of playing semantics, because that's so fucking annoying. It's not about that. But when we drop unhelpful words, we open up space. And in the openness of that space, there's room for new possibilities. There's room for new lenses that we can see ourselves and our situation and really life as a whole through. So I think it's this is ultimately why this call matters so much, right? Just because of this whole shaping thing that's going on. So there was a quote that I found that I like, and this is not, you know, there's, you probably heard variations of this. This isn't really an original idea, but there's this idea that, so the quote is by, sorry, I'm distracted. There's people about to come up on the porch and knock on the door. I think they're selling something. So if you hear a knock on the door and me ignoring it, that's what's going on. Anyway, so the quote is by Ralph Marston. It says, "What's holding you back is the thought that something's holding you back." And I think this is dead on because, you know, of everything I just talked about with the way the words shape possibility and perception and all of that. So I think when we really get this, we're in a place to make some pretty fabulous shifts in our lives and you know, our actions and what we do and don't do and blah, blah, all of that stuff. So let's jump into the whole scared thing. I think that's a good starting point. So the problem with scared, with the word scared, and it's not just scared. I mean, you know, it's all of these words that are connected to fear, is that it brings us to a very circular energy. And here's the knock on the door. There we go. You can probably hear it. Perfect. I'm going to ignore that. So the idea, the problem with scared is that it's fear, there's a quality to fear that there's a circular energy to it, right? So if you, awesome. So if you imagine feeling fear and then going in circles, right? So if you've seen someone who's afraid, they'll stand up and they'll pace and they'll literally kind of walk in circles around the room. And there's an energy of circularness to fear, right? There's a quality that if it's not felt and then sort of moved into something else, it will just kind of spin us in the circle. So, you know, anytime we say I'm scared or I'm afraid or whatever, it's like we're immediately evoking and invoking this kind of circular state. So suddenly forward movement becomes a little tricksy because we've just locked our ass into this kind of circular spiral. And here's the thing about fear. Fear is never current. It's really never about the current situation, with the exception, you know, like if you're standing face to face with a tiger and you're shitting your pants, obviously, totally present time kind of thing. But most of the situations that we're in, when we're talking about being afraid, it's not really a now type of thing. It's about a fear that's connected to the past that feels similar to now, or it's some anxiety about the future that might possibly happen, but we don't really know because we're not there. So there's a quality of fear that is not about nowness and not about presentness. And so when we latch on to this idea of I'm afraid, then we've immediately sort of yanked ourselves out of now and into the past or into the future or some weird mix of both. And again, not so helpful, right? Because, you know, you get it. You're all smart people. That's just kind of a fucked place to be. So here's the other interesting thing about fear. Fear is almost always connected to stories. And by stories, I mean, again, the things that we tell ourselves or about our situation or whatever's going on. And stories are also never current. I mean, it's really impossible to have a current story because these stories build up over time and they build up in response to things. And by the time that response has been built up, you know, it's not now. And most of our stories are really old stories anyway. And stories are really tightly woven with fear in some really tricky ways. And, so the stories have a charge and an energy around them, and the fear has a charge and the energy around them. So they're like these two supercharged things just kind of bouncing back and forth against each other, amping up the charge. And so, and again, doing it from a place of not nowness. So what we're responding to is not really actually what's going on, and it's being filtered through the past or the future or through these stories and this charge and all of it. So there's something about it that just completely displaces us from where we are, because here's the thing. Our bigness is always the nowness, right? Our bigness is always a completely present moment, always, because, without getting too existential and philosophical, that's really the only place it could ever be. But this whole fear thing is not really any of those things. So here's the other thing with fear. I think at the end of the day, again, assuming you're not facing a tiger, and really I guess it's true in that situation as well, but fear comes down to a worry about lack of capacity, that you feel unable to deal with whatever's going on, and because of that lack of capacity, holy shit, all kinds of really bad things could happen or will happen or whatever. I'll talk a little bit more about capacity in a minute, but that all goes back to your bigness and this idea of, because you have the capacity in your bigness to manage it. And when you're afraid and there's an underlying fear that's about the lack of capacity, it's just yet another thing that detaches you from your bigness. So we've got all of these things that unplug you from your bigness, the circular nature, the not current time, the stories, the lack of capacity, all of this shit, right? And then on top of that, the fear itself just keeps building a charge around it, right, which just keeps things even more out of whack and not helpful. So that's the super overview version of fear. Let's talk about stuck. And again, this isn't just about one particular word. It's about any word that sort of denotes unstuck. So fear is circular. But if we look at stuck, it's like a dead end, right? We run into a wall. And because of that, that's how this idea of being stuck negates action. So it's kind of like running through a maze, and then you wind up, in this kind of dead corner somewhere, and it's like, shit, I'm stuck. What do I do now? Well, there's not a whole lot to do if you think that you're stuck and you're facing a wall. But here's the problem. And this is, and look, I'm going to do a little aside because I think it's relevant for context. So if we've been hanging out for a few years now, you'll know that when I started doing kind of the earlier incarnation of what I'm doing now 4+ years ago or whatever it was, I spent a lot of time in my copy talking about stuck. And in fact, I think my tagline at the time was something about like less stuck, less struggle, more awesome or something. So, it was struggle I thought was an important enough thing to speak to that I put it in my motherfucking tagline. I'll get to why that is a really bad idea in a second. But I spent a lot of time with people who identified as being stuck or struggling or both, because they're just kind of slightly different flavors of the same shit. And what was interesting is that the more attached they got to this idea of being stuck, the less obvious their course of action was to them. It's like the more that charge of stuckness amped up, the more possibility and roads to other places kind of amped down, right? So again, the whole filter and lens and all of that. Here's the thing, though. I've really come to believe that we're never stuck. It's impossible for us to be stuck because, everything is always moving, right? Energy is moving, we're moving, life is moving, the situation is moving. And in order to be stuck, it would require all of those things to stop, which is fucking impossible, right? Except in sci-fi movies or whatever. But in actual reality, that's impossible for all of those things to stop for us to actually be stuck. So what stuck means is it's a misinterpretation of what's going on in the present moment. And we're misinterpreting it, again, because we're not seeing our bigness. We're disconnected from that. And again, there's elements of stories involved in all of this. And you know, one of the reasons that I spend so much time talking about this bigness thing is because people will fight hard for their stuck, right? People, it's interesting because you would think that people really want to get unstuck. And at the same time, I've seen people get really fucking pissed when you challenge them on the idea that they're not actually stuck and, in fact, it's kind of impossible to be stuck. People will get really fucking angry. And so people will fight hard for the stuck. And the reason that this bigness idea matters is because your bigness is never stuck. And, you know, even if you know, you want to pretend like, but I really am stuck on this thing, fine. There is a part of you, this bigness piece, who is always, always bigger and deeper and beyond whatever kind of stuck you believe is happening, right? And your bigness is never stuck and it never feels stuck. And so knowing this, right, the reason this matters is because it gives you this kind of inroad to a part of you who's not invested in just standing at a wall saying, I'm stuck, right? And obviously because I'm, you know, obsessed about pragmatic shit, we'll circle around about, you know, what that looks like and blah, blah in a minute. But bigness is the antidote to the fear. It's the antidote to the stuck because that part of you is just never snagged in the way smaller parts of you are. So when you're feeling stuck, it's just a misinterpretation of what's going on in the moment. It's assuming that things have come to a grinding halt and blah, blah. It's not. You're just not seeing where the movement is. You're just, you've stepped out of the flow, and you've misunderstood what's actually going on, so you feel stuck, and you're only stuck because you're just out of sync with the moment. That's all it means, right? Because there's always a rhythm, a momentum that's going on, and you've just sort of stepped out of that mentally or emotionally or whatever on some level, and now you feel stuck. But I think that it's important to get that stuck really is just kind of an impossibility. And the reason why that this matters in terms of dropping these words from your vocabulary is because I think stuck is kind of a lazy way of describing what's going on. Ah, fucking, I'm stuck. But if you drop that word from your vocabulary, and if you drop all of the related words, and then you force yourself to get more specific about what's going on, and usually it has nothing whatsoever to do with actually being stuck, right? It may be, I'm tired, I'm confused about this particular thing, you know, I'm not sure which road to pick, I'm not loving what I'm doing, right? So rather than just dump it all in this generic bullshit bucket of stuff, then you have to get more specific in the language about what's actually going on. And the really rad part about that is once you do that, then you can actually solve the fucking problem, right? So it's like, for example, and it was funny because I had a chance to take my own medicine this week. So I'm digging through some like last minute tax stuff. And there were some things that I couldn't find. And I wasn't exactly sure where they were. So I spent 2 days like, I don't know what to do, right? I wasn't saying the word stuck, but in my head, I was saying the word stuck. And then I realized I'm not stuck. I'm anxious because I can't find this fucking piece of paper. And then once I got real about that, it was like, oh, right, so that's what I need to do instead of, you know, perusing Etsy for shoes or, you know, whatever, right? And then that's what I did, and I found it, and it took me about 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden the stuck was fucking gone because it wasn't really about that. So that's the stuck, right? Stuck is just about misinterpreting what's going on and disconnecting from the flow, and when you drop that language, you can figure out what's actually going on. So, 428. Wow. Okay, I've just rattled on forever. But okay, so I want to segue into a part that is a little delicate and has potential for pushing buttons. And so know that going in, and, you know, again, this is just my take, and you're welcome to, you know, toss it all out if it's not your thing. But one of my least favorite things that I've seen in entrepreneurial circles in the last few years is there are pockets of the entrepreneurial crowd, thankfully dwindling at this point, but they have really elevated this whole idea of stuck and hard and scary and running a business is so hard and marketing is so scary and there's a million things to be stuck about, and you have to make it your job to sort through your shit before you can actually do your other shit. And I have heard all of the logic behind it. I have heard both sides argued pretty passionately. And I have to tell you, I think that, number one, it's bullshit. And number two, I think it is one of the worst and most damaging things that I've seen show up in the entrepreneurial circles in a really, really, really long time. Because what looks on the surface as an acknowledgement of difficulty actually becomes an excuse to amp it up in the name of solving it, right? And so, first of all, just on a pure issue of focus, right? Whatever you focus on, you just amp up, right? And I don't even mean that in a wooey energy kind of way, although I think it's absolutely fucking true on that front. But, you know, whatever you spend your day focusing on, that's just what you end up with more of. And so, you know, introducing these ideas that everything is so fucking hard and so fucking scary and marketing is scary and having a business is scary and I'm stuck in my stuff and blah, 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 blah. Guess what? You end up with a big fucking plate of that. And then that just kind of validates your idea that, oh, my God, there's so much of this stuff and now I have to spend my fucking day sorting it out and teasing it out. And, you know, I've seen people approach that in a million different ways, you know, from getting super heady about it to turning them into monsters and having conversations. And frankly, I think it's all a really shitty idea. And I think it's a shitty idea on a lot of different levels. One, practically speaking, there's only so much energy to go around, and you really have to decide what you're going to spend your energy on. And you can spend your energy digging into your bigness and clarifying who you are and transmitting your boom, or you can spend your energy talking to monsters and fucking around with all this stuff and acting like everything is big and scary and what do I do, what do I do? You know, I think it's clear which side of this I land on. I am not a fan of this other approach. I also think it's a fucked idea from my own spiritual, energetic perspective, right? Because the more you focus on this stuff, the more it increases. And there's, you know, when you start turning things into monsters and then having conversations with them, there's a self-replicating quality to that. And the more energy you feed into that, the more shit there is to untangle, right? They're like dust bunnies or something. And before you know it, you've got an entire fucking room full of them. And holy shit, how did this happen? Well, it happened because this is where you're funneling your energy into it. And frankly, I find it to be a completely ineffective practice. Not just the monster thing specifically, but I think that's ineffective, but all of this as a whole, right, it's this idea of digging in and everything so scary and blah, 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 I think this is ineffective because it doesn't do much. And the reason that I know it doesn't do much is I've seen a lot of people spend a lot of time stuck in the same place, carving the same very, very circular groove again and again. Now, sometimes for the people who do it, it feels effective because it has a charge around it, so it raises a lot of energy, right? So there's a certain zing around the idea, but people mistake energy for efficacy. It's not hard to stir up energy, but if that energy isn't doing anything or moving in a productive way, then it's not a smart or effective practice. And I think that this is a really, really important thing because you can circle the same groove again and again and again and feel like you're getting shit done because it looks like you're getting shit done, but you're carving the groove deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think that it's not just inefficient. I think it's there's some potentially dangerous stuff to that. And I don't mean dangerous in a big existential sense. I just mean it more dangerous in terms of your ability to actually get shit done and run a business and make money. I am just not a fucking fan. I think it places the focus just in the wrong place. And when you shift the focus, new lenses show up. And suddenly all of these things that seem like a big deal and, you know, all of these things that seem so scary are not scary, and these monsters just mysteriously vanish because they're not actually real. And I think that... I'm not a fan. I've seen a lot of people get stuck in this place, and I don't think it's great. So on a related note, I think that for all of the marketing that it is all about, you know, speaking to people where they're afraid and speaking to the stuck and all of that kind of thing. I mean, you know, clearly you know how I feel about the whole douchey pressing the pain point thing. I mean, I hate that, and I'm not even going to get off on that tangent, but as someone who spent a lot of time speaking to the stuck with my previously horrible tagline of less stuck, less struggle, more awesome, or whatever it was, again, what you focus on, you amp up. So that was really effective for attracting a lot of people who were really, really stuck. And if that's what you want, if that's what you want to spend your day focusing on in your work, then rock the fuck on. For me, it's not. Because what I realized really clearly at some point in doing that, in attracting a lot of people who perceived themselves to be stuck, is the amount of energy and effort and work that it took to move them past that point was enormous, in large part because they were so focused on the stuck and the fear and all of the investments. And frankly, that's just not what I want to spend my day doing. It's just not where my energy goes. And so I think that it's really important when you're thinking about marketing, what are you speaking to? Because you're going to speak to people who are vibing at that place, at that frequency, in that experience, whatever it is. And so I think you have to be careful, you know, if that's not who you want landing in your orbit and filling up your calendar. I think it's a little tricky to spend a shitload of time speaking to the whole stuck, pain, afraid, blah, blah thing. Because otherwise, all of a sudden, your work will be full of that. And, I won't go on other than if it's not your thing, don't do that. And if it is, do it consciously and rock the fuck on with it. But for me, I just reached a point where it was clear that, these are not my most perfectly matched people, and it's not the work I dig doing. So I made a very conscious shift away from all of that language. So let's talk a little bit about, more than a little bit, about how to actually deal with this stuff, right? So I think that there is, just in big, huge overview sense, I think we've got some of the issues clear with the whole stuck and afraid and all of that piece, right? You know, how they affect us and the way they disconnect us from our bigness and all of that. But I want to talk about how to deal with it because ultimately that's what matters. Otherwise, why the fuck are we doing this call? So at the end of the day, really, there are two approaches to dealing with it. And again, this is sort of oversimplified for the purpose of the discussion. But really, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to there are methods of dealing with this stuff from our smallness, and then there are methods of dealing with it from our bigness, and they are radically different. Like these could not be more different in their approaches. Now the problem is most of the solutions that I've seen come from the smallness, right? And so that looks like, again, trying to tease everything out, sort of cognitively trying to outrun the stuck or the fear. Trying to rationalize with it, is it true, is it real, blah, 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 you know, all of that kind of stuff. You know, playing these games with the, you know, the monsters and, you know, all of this other shit. I mean, all of those things just, those are firmly rooted in smallness. And here's the problem with that. I have not found most of those methods to be super effective, especially if you're somebody who, at least like me, had kind of a default position that was, the default is the fear thing, right? Not super effective for me. Because it's all about just kind of running in a circular way and trying to find ways to manage and turn down the static and all of that. And it's a shitload, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of energy involved in doing that. And as a practice, it demands a lot. Of upkeep and maintenance and all of it. And I think the payoffs are not always so great. So the other way of dealing with it, the bigness, it's a radically different thing, right? Because we're not trying to tease anything out or cognitively outpace things. We're not, you know, fucking around with monsters and all of this shit. We're plugging into our bigness. And again, the reason it matters, and I guess in case there are people that are just super new to what I do on the call, when I talk about bigness, I'm talking about the bigger, deeper parts of who you are, right? Like who you are at your best and your brightest and your most inspired and on fire and full of momentum. So, you know, some people might look at it as soul or spirit or genius or creativity or whatever. I've never really cared what model you use, but I want you to understand clearly what it is. It's this thing that everyone has. And it really is this bigger, deeper part of who you are. And when it comes to dealing with this stuff from a place of bigness, the reason that I think that this is the most effective way is because that bigger part of you is always bigger and deeper than all of the static and the stuck and the scared and all of this shit. So whereas the smallness likes to spend a lot of time teasing it out and trying to sort it out and reposition yourselves in relationship to it, that doesn't exist when you come at it from the place of bigness because it literally is like switching channels. And so all of the static that you heard on 94.6 doesn't exist on 107.1. So there's nothing to tease out. There's nothing to reposition yourself around. There's no monsters to fuck with. They just don't exist on that channel. And so it really is, it's almost like coming at this with two different sets of eyes because the smaller parts of who you are will see it one way, the bigger parts of who you are will see it another way, and they'll have very different solutions to this. And to be clear, this is not right or wrong. Like, it's not that I think that the small solutions are bad or wrong and that the bigger ones are right. I just don't think the smaller ones are that effective. So for me, it really is about efficiency and efficacy, right? Because, I think that we could spend our entire lives teasing out the stories around stuck and scared. You know, and you could spend the next 30 fucking years sorting through this stuff, teasing it out, and is it true, is it not true, where did this come from, what do I do, you know. I mean, and I think that, you know, is there potential for shifting in that? Sure. But I don't see a lot of it happening. But when you shift to that bigger part of who you are, where those stories just don't exist and that static isn't a variable, things change like crazy, right? And here's the other really cool thing about plugging into the bigness. So if we go back to the fear thing and how it's connected to lack of capacity, you have an infinite capacity when you plug into your bigness to deal with whatever's going on. And when we look at how both stuck and scared sort of don't really line up with the present moments of whatever's going on for you, your bigness is always in the present moment. So you've solved the two root problems that are all that are at the root of this idea of stuck and scared, right? So you've not just turned the volume down on the static, but you've gone to the roots and sort of fixed the solution. So one of the metaphors that I use a lot in thinking about bigness and capacity is if you put an 8-ounce glass on the counter and you try to pour, 18 ounces of water in it, it's a fucking mess, right? The water just spills everywhere because the container's too small. And if you were to do that, you would probably lose your shit because then there would be water all over the place and, wow, that's a mess you have to clean up. That's what happens when you're in this place of fear, right? You've exceeded the capacity that you're plugged into. So you're plugged into the eight-ounce glass and you just tried to dump 18 ounces of water in it, and now you've got a big mess on your hands. But when you plug into that bigness, suddenly now you've got a 24-ounce container that can handle the 18 ounces with no problem and with room to spare. And that's why this bigness thing matters. That's what happens when you plug into that. You realize that you have the capacity to actually deal with whatever's going on. So let me 4:43. Cool. Okay. Yeah, actually, you're deliciously on schedule, which is kind of amazing. So let's get a little more granular about this whole plug into your bigness thing, right? Because I know I say it a lot, and you know the logical question is, well, how the fuck do I do that? So there are some facets of this that I think are really important to understand. So if we go back to this idea of your bigness and your smallness being two different sets of eyes, right? That see and interpret and relate to things in two radically different ways, the first step of plugging into your bigness has to be this reminder to reinterpret what's going on. So when let's say something happens and you have this initial feeling of fear, right? Rather than immediately jumping into the stories and jumping out of the present moment and getting into the past or the future or feeling like, holy shit, now I'm stuck, right? Before you launch into those familiar places, you have to create a gap between the experience and the interpretation of it. So whatever it is you're feeling and then all of the stories that you've got around what it means. And in that gap is the possibility to reinterpret what's going on. So rather than spinning off on all of these familiar grooves and all of these stories about what the situation means, when you feel these feelings of fear, when you feel something that feels like being stuck, let that be a sort of a red flag to you that something is going on and I'm feeling this way about it because I'm unplugged from my bigness, right? So rather than go and spin a bunch of shit about it, step one is to realize, hey, something is going on and I'm feeling funky because I'm disconnected from my bigness. So that's reinterpreting it. And that's using it as a reminder, right, as a springboard to plug back into your bigness as opposed to running off into left field and defaulting into the old familiar groove with whatever's going on. So you use the feeling, you use the discomfort as a reminder to plug you back into your bigness, right? So that's what happens. You reinterpret what's going on, and then you use that as a jumping off point. And so as a reminder to plug in, right? Well, how do you plug in, right? How does that happen? So again, I'm going to give you the simplest possible how to here because, you know, I could and probably will make an entire thing out of the nitty-gritty of plugging into your bigness. But, you know, if you know your superpower, then step one of plugging back in is to go do whatever plugs you back into your superpower, right? Whatever those things are that amp you up on that superpower mojo, that's the first step to plugging back into your bigness. If your superpower is still fuzzy, if that's not something you totally grok yet, no worries, right? So how do you plug in? You know, play the songs that amp you up, that give you a feeling of strength or possibility or openness or just momentum when you're kind of in that stuck looking at a wall place. Wear shoes that are amazing, right? Costumes. This is why I'm such a fan of this whole shoe costume talisman thing, right? Because you can use all of these things to plug you back in. That's why I fucking wear red shoes all the time. They're like this constant and fabulously fashionable reminder of what feels like my bigness to me. You know, hanging out with animals is a pretty rad way of plugging into your bigness because thankfully they're not so tangled up in their own shit as we are. I think any kind of exercise is smart, right? Whether that's taking a 5-minute walk or, you know, riding a bike or skating or just running around the house in circles, if you have to, whatever it is, I think that can be helpful because it discharges the initial weirdness that's going on and lets us run off some of this energy, literally or metaphorically, so that we can get into that kind of bigger, deeper, calm state. You know, if you're a fan of yoga or meditation or whatever, you know, for me, drumming does it, chanting does it. I swear to God, I've said this 1,000 times, but my chanting practice saves my ass on a daily fucking basis. I mean, I would be just 12 kinds of a disaster without my chanting practice. So, you know, whatever that is for you, whatever creates space for you and plugs you into a bigger, deeper sense of who you are. And if you don't know what that is, that's like mission critical to sit down and sort that out. And, you know, you don't have to have a million things, but you should have a few really solid things that can plug you back into that boom really, really, really quickly, right? Because after you reinterpret and you understand the situation as a reminder, then you need to plug back in and you need to have some really, really concrete, actionable things that you can do. Like put on red shoes and, you know, stick a Morrissey talisman under your shirt and, you know, use this perfume or cologne, you know, whatever, like that kind of stuff. It needs to be really concrete and actionable. There's also just a few simple things, and then I want to give you a really easy exercise to do too. But so we talked about the talismans, right? Talismans are just like anchors or reminders, right? You know, I just sat there and talking about that on just the text. I won't go into that too much. But costumes we've talked about. In some of the magical traditions, you find this idea of invoking spirits, right? I don't really give a fuck whether you believe in spirits or invoking shit. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm a big fan of invoking rock stars, right? Like I will invoke Joey Ramone or Gaga or Yoda or, you know, whatever, because in my head Yoda's a rock star. So, you know, it's this idea of kind of calling on these symbols that remind you of your own bigness and plugging into them. And so, listen, if you want to write like an invocation to Lady Gaga and then read it when you're in the shit, do it, because I've done it and it fucking works. What else? Right. So I think another fun thing to play with, like going back to what I said in the very beginning of the call about the power of names and all of that, you know, come up with this secret name for you, right? A name that encapsulates or expresses the feelings that you have about your bigness. And, you know, break that name out when you're in your ship, right? Call that name out. Call yourself that name. If you want to or need to, write an invocation to your bigness, right? Using that name. I mean, it's, you know, these things sound silly, but listen, they really work. And they work because there are these reminders of this bigger thing that we're trying to plug back into. And I think the more reminders we have, the easier it is to get back to it. So, you know, I think the other thing to do, and this kind of annoys me, when listen, I think this works, and also it annoys me a little bit because I'm a super emotional person, but, you know, I've heard people say, you know, pretend that you're a scientist, and rather than getting in your shit, look at it as an experiment, be curious and be detached. If you can do that, rock the fuck on, and like a million gold stars for me. Sometimes that works for me, and sometimes it doesn't, just depending on, you know, whatever the situation is. But, you know, if the idea of, instead of invoking Gaga, invoking a scientist or something to look at what's going on and get some distance, so you can get into your bigness, if that works for you, then you know, rage on. So here's a really, really simple exercise that I like to do, and I've taught it to people, and I've done it for about a million years. But, so let's say you're in a situation where, you know, it's either you either feel stuck or scared or whatever. It doesn't really matter. You can do this for anything. So the first thing is, you know, once you've dealt with just the initial charge, however you deal with that, close your eyes. And if you're visual, then, you know, do like a visualization. If you're more of a feeling, sensing person, that's totally fine. You know, you don't have to be visual to do this. But so if you imagine, so I'll use that as the catch-all, imagine, see, sense, feel, whatever. If you imagine the situation in front of you, right, like the situation is in front of you, and you're seeing it from your present moment feeling, right, the stuck, scared, the, you know, losing your shit, whatever it is. And then in your mind, take like a step back, right? So if you're visual, this is going visual. So this is the way it looks to me. I see the situation like I'm looking out through this bay window thing in my forehead, and the situation's in front of me. And then I step back and like toward the center of my head. And with each step back, the situation changes, because you're changing your perception from the smallness, and you're stepping back into the bigness. And the further you step back into the bigness, the more the situation starts to look and feel differently, because you're viewing it from a different place. So you step back, you see how it changes, you step back again, you see how it changes, and you keep stepping back until you feel like you're plugged back into this really deeply rooted, bigger place. And then once you're in that place, then you look at the situation, see how it looks, see how it feels, see what seems possible, you know, see what's the most now response you have to it, as opposed to something from the stories and all of that. So really, it's just about seeing or feeling the situation in front of you, and then continually stepping back inside yourself until you're in this place that is bigness, and looking at how the situation changes. I've done this a lot. In fact, I've done it in some really scary, shitty, like emergency kind of situations, and it has made a big fucking difference. So the other thing that I would say, and I did a public service announcement on this a few days ago or something, I think just one of the simplest things that you can do, stop talking so much about your fear, right? And stop talking so much about the stuck. And the less you talk about it, unsurprisingly, the less afraid you are, the less stuck you feel. Because again, you know, every time you talk about it, you're feeding it, you're focusing on it, you're amping up the charge. And it just, you know, you're just carving the groove deeper, and I'm not so sure that's a helpful thing. You know, and it's interesting because I've heard a lot of people who have run through some of these other smallness smallnessly oriented ways of dealing with the stuck and the fear and all of that. And a lot of people said, this just fucking feels exhausting, right? Like, all of this working on my shit feels exhausting. And I think that there's a reason for that. I think the reason it feels so exhausting is because I don't actually think that we're designed to do it nearly as much as we do, right? With the rise of this whole self-help blah, blah thing in the last couple of decades, I think there's been, and there's been some really good parts. Listen, awareness is a great thing. Knowing what's going on inside of you, radically important thing. But when all of the energy, when all of your units of energy, like my friend Michelle Woodward talks about, when all of those energy units get eaten up on just processing and sorting out your shit, it's like revving an engine and not going anywhere. And eventually that just wears things down, and it feels exhausting. And I think it also feels exhausting because on a deeper level, there's always this bigness, this momentum, this rhythm that's calling you forward into what's next, into this sense of possibility. And when you're out of sync with that, when you're not moving with that momentum because you've invested in these ideas of stuck and scared and blah, blah, there's a resistance that's happening. This momentum wants to take you forward, but you're just kind of circling in circles and, you know, sorting out all of this shit. And so that tension, that resistance, that's an expensive thing to have happen. And I think that that's also part of what adds to the general feeling of exhaustion with this. So the last thing that I really want to say about this whole thing, and this applies to all of these things that I've just talked about, plugging in your bigness and all the different ways to do that. This is a fucking practice. And it's simple as shit, and it's not even close to easy. Not always. It can be. And it gets way easier over time. But it really is a practice. And I think it's important to talk about it in terms of a practice instead of just like, yeah, I get it, plug into my bigness, and now this just everything changes immediately. That's probably not the reality, right? Because we've spent so much time carving this other fucking groove, and we've spent so much time being used to dealing with these things from the smallness. And it really is a practice of reminding ourselves to see it and deal with it and respond to it from a different place. And that's the part that's the practice piece, right? That's the part that we have to continually recommit to again and again and again, sometimes minute by minute, which is super fucking annoying. But, you know, for most of it, that's the way it goes. So, I don't want you to get off the call and try this, and then if it doesn't work immediately or you get kind of sideways with yourself, think that you're fucking it up. This is how it goes. This is how it goes for everybody that I know, if people are honest and, you know, don't like to pretend they've got all this shit together all the time. This is just how it goes for people. It really is a practice. And so making it a practice, understanding that, and finding ways to remind yourself of these different ways of dealing with things day-to-day, situation to situation, that's the fucking work, right? I mean, understanding what to do, that's the simple shit. But really, you know, blocking it and then turning it into a practice, it takes work. It takes commitment. So last thing I'm going to close with, because I like quotes, I'm a quote nerd. So there's a really lovely quote by Pema Chodron that I think just sums all of this up. It's from her book, Always Maintain a Joyful Mind, which I think is a lovely idea. I'm not quite there, but what the fuck, I like the idea. So she talks about the three difficult practices. And the three difficult practices are, number one, to recognize your neurosis as neurosis, right? Number two, then not to do the habitual thing, but to do something different to interrupt the neurotic habit. And three, to make this practice a way of life. And really, frankly, I probably just could have started the call and read that and said bye-bye and gotten off the phone, because that sums up really everything that I've said in a nutshell. That's really what it comes down to. Recognizing your neurosis is neurosis, then doing something different to interrupt it, and then basically rinsing and repeating and making that a practice, because that's how things shift. And the more you do that, and the more you're willing to drop the language of the stuck and the scared and find other words that are clearer and more accurate and more present moments and more rooted in your bigness, the more this whole thing completely shifts. Just to end on a personal note, you know, I started the call by saying that, you know, my default position is fear. It always has been. You know, I grew up in an environment where fear was a very heavy, tangible, palpable thing. It just It hung in the air like smog. And so it was a very familiar space to me. And I think I developed this worldview at some point that said the world is a scary place and people are scary things and, you know, there's monsters in the corner and blah, 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 blah. It's possible to shift that. It's possible to change your default groove and to move into different places because I am not fearless by any means. Like I said, I hate that whole be fearless meme. I think it's just kind of stupid and ridiculous. But I am less afraid now than I have ever been in my entire life. And it is all because of everything that I've just shared in this call. Understanding the importance of language, understanding the way the bigness looks at this stuff and realizing that it's a radically different way and a radically more effective way of resolving it than some of these other pieces and making that a practice. And, you know, I don't have it nailed yet. You know, it's not, I'm not perfect at it, but I've gotten a lot better than I was even a year or so ago. And I'm just not really that afraid of too many things in the way that I used to be. I mean, sometimes stuff comes up and it stirs me up a little bit and then I just plug into the bigger part of me and keep moving, you know, and that's it. And that's really the why behind this, so that you can feel whatever you feel and you can respond to it differently. And then you can be in a different place and life continues to move forward, you know? So that's it. And look at that. It's 5 o'clock on the dot. Somebody give me a gold fucking star for wrapping this in 15 minutes. Holy shit. Amazing. Anyway, thank you all for hanging out. I'm amazed that, you've all hung out. I was waiting for half of the people to give me a royal fuck off and jump ship halfway through. Bless you. You are lovely people. There is a slight chance that Nathan sent me a lovely note earlier, and he's going to, I think, help us get this recording up before I leave town as opposed to when I come back. So bless him. Really, everybody in the world should love the face off of him because he's fucking amazing. So I'm going to get this to Nathan so we can get it up on the forum. Questions about the call, comments about the call, discussions about the call, bring them to the secret discotheque, toss them out. I'll be leaving town and won't have a ton of time to dig in while I'm gone, but, you know, you're all brilliant people and can chat amongst yourselves, and I'll certainly dip in as I can. I'm done. It's time for tea. So thank you for showing up. I'm totally stoked we got to do this, and we'll do it again soon. Bye, guys.